Hello, willkommen, bienvenue, konnichiwa, ni hao, jambo, mahaba, and all the universal greetings. It's time for the Armistice Inquisition yet again, episode 319 on Sunday, the 3rd of March, 2024. I'm Phil.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matt.
And tonight we're very happy to be joined by Phil Corbett from Ancient Alternative View on YouTube. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm very well, thank you, and pleased to meet you guys. It's been a while since we've started talking about having a chat, and it's a pleasure to meet you all. Thank you very much for having me. Absolute honour.
Yeah, we haven't had much luck, and I almost had to cancel this time as well because our internet went down on Thursday.
What?
Yeah, we lost internet Thursday night.
Wow. What have you survived?
Oh, no. Was it like being in the Stone Age?
It was like I was just looking for nubs everywhere. It was like going back into the mists of prehistory, a complete pain in the pineal gland.
Wow. Just trying to scroll through your standard books.
Yes. Fortunately, the internet is working. Fingers crossed. And it's great to have you here, Phil. I was thinking, well, the links are in the show notes for anyone who wants to catch up with the videos, looking at this sort of ancient architecture and also some of the more esoteric stuff, things like frequency and whatnot. But by way of introduction, for maybe people watching who aren't familiar with your stuff, why don't you tell us a bit about your background and your professional background and how you ended up researching prehistory and its architecture?
I joined the Navy, the Royal Navy, when I was 17 as an air engineering mechanic. And, of course, with that came many years of travel. I became an all-arms commander in 2023. I'd already done an engineering degree at that point, so building and engineering aircraft was huge for me, and travel as well. When I fast forward left the Marines, I went and did a lot of travel off my own back, met a lot of people, and Turkey became a real study point of mine. The Lycian rock cut tombs all over Turkey really is a hotbed of the ancient world. So I decided to go and do a historical degree from Birmingham as an adult learner. This was on the Roman Empire, and as it sort of coincided with Egypt, you know, Mark Antony, Cleopatra. And of course, when you open your eyes to that kind of part of the ancient world, me being somebody from the military, I sort of started timelining ancient history through the wars and going back through Phoenician wars, Egyptian wars, seafaring wars, looking at different cultures that travelled, and really noticing that through the architecture that things didn't quite make sense from an engineering and architectural perspective. A friend of mine, probably somebody I consider a family member, Andrew from Ancient History Criticisms, a pioneer of the global ancient hallmarks, somebody that found the bevel blocks worldwide and came to me with the nubs. And him and I catalogued the nubs. They were actually called knobs, believe it or not, originally. Right. And we thought that was quite a a bad word for them to be distinguished as, to say the least.
I'll just throw a quick picture up, just so that people who are watching along, who maybe if they haven't seen our shows with Ziggy Dan or whatnot, maybe they aren't familiar with the Nubs, so I might just throw a quick...
I think we're all familiar with the Nubs by now, surely.
People are still still catching up, but this is what you're talking about when you talk about this sort of... Was that the universal
language? With this image, just with this image alone, you've got more than one hallmark. You've got what's called a trapezoidal door. You've got what's called polygonal stonework. And you've got different representations of the Nubs. You see, they're not just something that's stuck there on stone. Now, if you think about these blocks and you were to be stood behind them, these blocks are enormous. You are not putting pieces of rope underneath the bottom part of those Nubs and lifting those into place with any of the engineering equipment that we've been told can happen today. So just through the image that you're looking at there, it's not just Nubs, no. It's telling you a different story. Pardon me. You could even look at it that where the polygonal stonework lays down, that these could be sentence breakers. Now, for those that aren't aware, this site continues around and up in different levels. And behind this, actually, is a different set of Nubs that are at a different level. So they don't correspond with lifting, which is the mainstream view. I'm not against that because in some instances, when the Nubs were looked at in their initial phase, you could say that all lumps, bumps, protrusions, they're not Nubs, okay? Now, there's multiple catalogues out there. Andrew has the Ancient History Criticisms Trust. I have a free catalogue on Pinterest under the Ancient Alternative View. Globally, this is an A to Z. It's not one or two countries, okay? The global ancient hallmarks are not just one or two countries, i.e. Peru, Egypt, Greece, India, which a lot of people tend to study. That's fair. They're massive. But if you only study one area and become good at one place, then you're not really going to understand the actual global implication of what this hallmark means. Now, with the Nubs alone, there's different variations from triangular to square to rectangular, semicircular. The semicircular is found in the internal workings of the Great Pyramid in the portcullis chamber. Now, if the builders were there in what's so-called one of the most ancient buildings on the planet, 2,355,000 blocks moved over 20 years. We're talking one block of between 5 and 50 ton every couple of minutes moved into place. As an engineer from the Marines and the Royal Navy, I've got to tell you that's ludicrous. If all of us had 100 people who are excellent engineers, I don't think we could put a plan to put that into place, do you? Now, the things alongside the hallmarks that are interesting, and as we're talking about that, is the implication of the mineralogy around it. So if you look at those stones that you just had on there, and you look at where the Nubs are positioned, the Nubs are conducive to something. They're telling you something. Now, on a larger scale, one might say that if something is speaking to you, it's a language, it's a communication. What that communication is for those that understood it. If they're global and an engineer gave you a schematic for something, regardless of size of stone, no matter how, you know, out of this world we might think it is, it was done. Those right angles are there. Those trapezoidal features are there. The Nubs are there. Those huge stones are there. And they're global. The answer is not in what are we looking at with the Nubs. It's what are we looking at with all of the global ancient hallmarks. Why do they appear everywhere? That's the question.
I mean, one of the striking things just looking at that picture is how smooth those stones are, the finish on them. They look really nice and smooth. And you think if you're going to all that trouble to cut these massive blocks with that trapezoid sort of engraved, well, engraving's the wrong word, why wouldn't you just knock these things off if they were for lifting? You know, do you want your temple to look decent?
And if you think about it, if you were going to finish the stone that well, why would you leave a protuberance like that? And at that sort of width, if you were closer to that, some of those are almost like 6 or 7 inches outside the block. Now, with that in mind, could there have been something else that we're not seeing? And could that have been perpetuated globally? Now, when you look at Indian temples where the nubs are, predominantly a lot of the nubs are at the base of the temples.
Right.
They are found in different areas, but they're predominantly found at the base. Now, when you look at different areas of construction and you look at it, let's just say on a mainstream scale that where things were built, well, this same set of engineers then built exactly the same set of hallmarks within exactly the same set of buildings for a reason. Did they continue doing it so that everyone else didn't know? Or was it done at a different time that we don't understand? It's there because it's in the physical evidence. No one can take that away. So to understand it, I think what we need to do, and we can use academic tests to do this that have already been done. So there have been academics down the years that have gone and looked at frequencies, gone and looked at telluric energies. I'm sure you've all heard about ley lines and where specific ancient sites were built. And if you look at where the actual mainstay was built, it was on a perfect magnetic point with water that had telluric energies that then had hallmarks built into them. So there was a knowledge of engineering from second one moving into that physical evidence. Yes, it's been built on. Yes, cargo cults have come and, let's say, used specific sites. We could say Romans would be massive on that.
Yeah. Well, like, what's it, the Baalbek at... in Lebanon.
Yeah, huge, huge.
I mean, the theory is that sort of retaining wall, I think, is it the Temple of Jupiter, I think, at Baalbek, that the Romans built on top of this gigantic retaining wall. And you look at those blocks in the Trilithon, that the ones that are in situ are like 800 tons, maybe 1,000 tons.
1,200. The stone of the pregnant lady is 1,200 tons.
Yeah.
The Trilithon stones that are in place, you're probably looking at, as you said, around between 800 metric to 900 metric. And let's not forget the photos that you're seeing on Google and so on and so forth, and not giving these stones justice at all. Where you've got the Baalbek Trilithon stones and then you've got the bevel blocks above, Andrew and I have said for years that those were placed by the original builders, not the Romans. The Romans didn't place those columns with the granite wrapped around it. I'll tell you for why. The Etruscans in history went to the Romans and said, we'll give you the alchemical way of building the old sciences. And what the Romans did very well is say, we'll assimilate you and we don't give you a monkeys about what you say. We'll do it our way. Now, what you could see at Baalbek, it's been moved around, the easy stuff, but the original stuff is certainly not that way at all. Now, there's actually subterranean levels there. Ziggy Dan was, as you've mentioned earlier on, found these. We researched this many years ago, and there's 2.5 miles of chambers that actually lead out of Baalbek.
Wow.
Yeah. Fantastic researcher, Ziggy. You did really well to chat with him. He's an amazing lad, as are all the researchers from the team. Dan Stevens, another one that you've had on here. Fantastic mind, brilliant guy. Love the guy to bits. I'm glad I work with him. He's brilliant. So huge plug to your channel there for everyone. And Nicky Arner as well. So, yeah, well done, guys.
So these things under Balbet then, did you say chambers or tunnels?
Seem to be about 2.5 miles that led out on the subterranean level. Now, when Baalbek was built initially, the Trilithon stones were built around Baalbek, so it was a complete area. Now, if you think about subterranean levels everywhere, they attach to something, don't they? So the mineralogy that it's attached to is specifically important. Now, if that changes from, say, let's say for argument's sake, quartzite, granite and something else into something else, and you add vibrations, what does quartz do when it's vibrating? It creates what's called piezoelectricity. Now, if you think about that with blocks on a huge scale, and you play specific frequencies, what happens to those stones? They vibrate. Think about if magnetism is used. All of a sudden, you can use massive stones and just push them down the way, like a plus and a minus on magnetism. You know, it's just a case of using what they had, frequency, with the mineralogy, and then building around that using the ley lines and the magnetism with the water that they obviously knew was there, you know, because this has been continued. Now, I would suggest it's used differently now. Yeah, churches, so on and so forth, use specific frequencies to, if you hear bells on a Sunday morning as a Christian person, what do? You automatically go to church. I'm not a Christian, but that's what Christians do. So from somebody that doesn't do that, I wondered from a standpoint of an engineering standpoint, if you change that frequency, who do you get come to you? So you change that frequency, do you get a feeling of awe or a feeling of fear? Like these guys that are writing the papers for the last 50 years are telling us in every site they're getting, using just drums. Now, I'll ask you a historical question. What broke down the walls of Jericho, lads?
The trumpets, weren't it?
Exactly. So it was frequency. It certainly wasn't barbaric armies that couldn't whack through walls. No. It was frequency, read between the lines. So with experiments that we can do, and what we looked at is we tried to see whether these sites had corresponding frequencies. They had a trident of frequencies. So you have what you and I can hear, which is within our hearing. Then you have what's below our hearing. And then you have what would really screw us up. Now, you've got mineralogies of stone, like massive quartz stones just laid in ancient sites for no reason, stone circles, all sorts. We're talking laid into the foundations of Baalbek, Palmyra. We could go into the Bridadeshwara temple at Tamil Nadu. We could go then to where we just looked at, Olente Tambo, Sacsayhuaman. Why are all the mineralogies of stone stacked in a specific way connected to the ground? Well, we can test that. If there's a complete temple with all the hallmarks, like you get in places like the Bridadeshwara temple in India, I don't know whether you know this, but India's split into different areas of temples. And when you look at where Tamil Nadu is in the bottom right-hand side, you've got miles of temples that lead up into the Himalayas that go across to China, where you would have the Emperor's Palace, Yangshan. Where is half of Yangshan? Tell me that, guys. When you carry on, you get into Russia. What was happening in Gunaya Sharia? there's no question that something was going on there because of the size of the stones. So we look at the mineralogy, where they were placed, exactly what could have gone on, what frequency could have happened. We could have been cutting stones with different frequencies like that. Problem is the topography, the time scale was different. But the hallmarks don't lie. Globally, we were together. It's as simple as that. I could show you an A to Z now, and it's as simple as that. Now, what were we working towards? Now, if I wanted to come to see you guys, where you are, and I was genuinely wanted to come and see you guys, I could probably have done something as simple as wear a crystal that was the same frequency that allowed me to walk through the woods to allow me to where you guys are. Imagine an army came to it you guys didn't want. And 5 miles away, all of a sudden, every demon known to man is in their mind just through a frequency they can't hear. You have a look at all different accounts of this through multiple spaces that we've done all year, through multiple academics that are telling you this is what happened, to where they're testing it. And they're actually like finding that outside of a temple, you're getting a vortex of frequency that allows your frequency inside that door. I'm telling you now, if you are not somebody that wants or is allowed to go there, you're going to get all this feeling of awe. No, fear. Get out, it's dark, it's horrible, I don't like it, go away. And this is mentioned through, I think at the moment we've found 1,052 academic papers that have been peer-reviewed. You've got the main bulk of every single archaeoacoustic researcher saying that this is the way to go, but they're not allowed to give you anything in their research. There's a worldwide team at the moment, they're global, and they're doing this archaeoacoustic research, which is what we're studying at the moment on spaces. There's one actually going live in about 28 minutes, big plug to the spaces of archaeoacoustics, Ancient Alternative View, Twitter, and the Institute for Natural Philosophy. So, yeah, it's been crazy to find a way to link the dots, guys. And with the academics giving us a way to actually go and test it. Do you understand my point? So we can go and take their frequencies, go to a site, use what they've done, and we can adjust that to see if we can get any different results, and then we can start applying that. Some of these are saying they're finding portals. Some of them are saying that they're finding where the libraries are opening. It's absolutely insane what we've found this year. Yeah. Ow. So, yeah, we want to introduce people, and I sent it to you guys last week, to a statement of significance, which actually is where academics now have to come to us and bring their evidence to us to say that the global ancient hallmarks are lifting nubs, or they're not this or they're not that. Well, here's the paper that says this is what they are. And now it will be down to, well, currently the 11-page bibliography that's 208 academics that are backing, well, free peer review, the work. So, well, if it's gone against, it will be their work that has been peer-reviewed that we're going to go and test that will be up for debate. So that's what our paper gives us now the right. They're going to have to come and say, well, your evidence is wrong, based on what, that you saw one set of nubs that you could lift with. Here's 10,000, 10 million, could you lift with all those? So it now changes in our favour, and that's where I'm glad we are, and we're about ready to publish it as well. And it's going to have a PUI, which attaches it to the Institute. It makes it a legitimate paper where academics can come against us, and the papers we've already published are in the top 1% being viewed at the moment in the world. So when this one comes out, let's hope that people go and look at the physical evidence that cannot lie. It cannot lie at all. It's on every single ancient structure in the world. So, yeah, it was good that you brought up, you know, the nubs, but it's far more than just the nubs.
I'm intrigued in this frequency notion and portals and whatnot, but just before we get further down that road, you mentioned Yang Shan, and yeah. I remember seeing a video, I think Wandering Wolf did a video where he visited
Mike,
it.
He works with us. He's a good guy, man.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that unfinished stele at Yang Shan Quarry, because it's pretty mind-boggling.
Well, there's three parts to it, actually. And the emperor said it's 32,690-something metric tons, with the middle nubbed feature that's got actually a Pisces inverted set of nubs onto it, which is 16,321 tons. And the emperor at the time, what he actually wanted was a dragon built outside the castle. And I'm quite good friends with some 20-year journalists in China. I've done a multiple series on China, on the pyramids. This is not a plug. This is the fact that China isn't as hard to get to know as you might like. But can you imagine you're my temple owner and you're telling me to go and move a 16,300-plus ton megalith over mountains? Have a guess what size dragon he ended up with in history.
About 50 foot, probably.
He ended up with an 8-ton one.
8-ton, right. 8-ton.
Now, Yang Shan's a real difficult one.
I mean,
it's not what's there, it's what's not there.
It looks like it has giant nubs on it.
It's got some big
it has
nubs.
Got that on it, but look at the huge stele, and then if you look at the aerial view on Google, you've got like that block and then around an entire area of the quarry. Ask yourself, where did that go? And I've asked a question to astronomical journalists out in China. Where's the material? I've studied every block for nubs in China. Where's the material?
The bit that the excavator...
I've got it all saved. Where is it? They don't know.
It's mental.
That is gospel truth. They do not know. So, yeah, Yang Shan is an enigma. I don't know how the original builders moved it. I don't know how they were intending to move the middle megalith, let alone the largest one.
Well, they were supposed to be piled on top of each other as well.
I know, yeah. I mean, it makes it insane, doesn't it? People tell me that what they did was measure with the nub attributes from Megalith 2. Not that one, of course. I mean, that dwarfs the stone of the pregnant lady.
Yeah.
In Baalbek, you know, that makes it look like a pebble. Yeah. There we go. That's what we're talking about there.
Yeah,
that's the middle megalith, and that's 16,000 plus tons. Now, people say what they were doing was quarrying the bottom parts of the stone out of it. Were they? Could you have used that for frequency, and could amplification have been prevalent if you were using a quarry as an engineering site? And actually using a specific technology through frequency. I think that that's possible, more so than we lifted it up and moved it. I think that maybe we had a way to use frequency to cut, move, manipulate stone on different levels than what we're thinking prevalent right now.
I suppose the,
bear in mind, we think about what we're capable of doing.
Right.
Don't think in an alchemical brain or how the ancients were thinking. So no matter how fantastical something might seem, we simply couldn't move or want to move that sort of stone now. So I put myself in that mindset of where we possibly could or did and had the capability of, you know.
Is that just because we're so arrogant that we believe advancement follows the timeline, and because we are after and the latest iteration of ourselves, we are therefore the most advanced we've ever been?
I think that's exactly right. And you know what? That's alternative and mainstream for me. I think if you can become humble and really speak to anybody about their ideas, and then if it's applicable, why not try and run with that and see exactly where it goes? Maybe no matter how outlandish some people's theories might be, if it's actually got physical evidence adaptations and they can tell you how it works, it's got to be listened to, hasn't it, you know? And I think it's just opening the mind, if I'm quite honest with you, and seeing just a vast amount of hallmarks that are actually there. Before you judge on one site, look at all of them. There's more than one ancient site. There's more than Egypt. There's more than the pyramids. There's more than India. There's more than Yangshan. You know, Troy's been barely touched. It's one of the biggest stories ever. You know, like everyone tells me, like the Romans were all brick, were they? I've seen them do bevel blocks, but were they the bevel block builders? Yeah, of course they were. Were they? Show me 10 sites they did worldwide then. Then they struggle, you know. It's like when you can show 4 images from one place and it's their favourite place, they're all arguments. When you show it continually happening globally, no one speaks because they don't want to think that the Coruscantia wasn't the first building ever, or that, I don't know, Tamil Nadu wasn't the most frequency orientated area ever. I'm not being disrespectful to anybody, but wouldn't it be better if we worked together and got the actual science behind it, went and really did the experiments, you know, went and did the frequency experiments they've already done, adapt them, go and see what they actually found that they were scared to do, you know? So I think there's so much more we can learn by going and using the physical evidence attributes, applying it to frequencies, telluric energies, where the buildings were built around water running through them. You know, and go and see what these academics found back then when they applied it to where the waters were running. And that's the key. And a lot in ancient times, when people like Alexander the Great couldn't conquer a site because of this, he just flooded it. He flooded it. It said that Egypt was exactly the same. No one could get near it for about 900 kilometers. It was flooded. And then what happened was the system actually broke down. I'd suggest that really, if you ran water, I mean, look at the Nile now, it's about 9.2 miles receded away. Recede that back to where it was actually functional. Think about that. What would break it down? Someone else saying we'd just flood that. And then all of a sudden, that engineering marvel that was the bubble around everything that allowed you to come and learn. You imagine the Greeks when their Herodotus wrote the histories over going and learning with the pharaohs. He wrote everything to do with it. He wasn't turned away. Did he go there with the correct attitude because he was a philosopher of teaching and learning? Yes. If I want to go and learn somewhere right now, I think I'm open-armed. If I want to go and cause trouble, I'm going to get treated like I'm going to cause trouble. I think that's the way they looked after their areas and welcomed you in. And if you wanted to ruin it, bows and arrows didn't quite do it. We didn't have M16s. We didn't have miniguns. We didn't have tanks. We didn't have F-19s. We didn't have Eurofighters. We didn't have drones. We had people contact. We had speaking, passed down tradition, who those people were, where that technology came from, alchemical sciences given through past tradition. How long do you think that tradition lasted after they were all blasted out of existence and assimilated? It lasted into the Druids. It was a few set of people that worked alongside, I don't know, keeping the secret alive. It's only people that have got open minds that are going to walk forward and do those studies again. And what if we got frequencies that allowed us all to fear awe around these sites and not scared about moving forward? Would it not give us a chance to move forward as a population, knowing that the physical evidence gave us everything we needed from bottom to top, magnetics, telluric energies, mineralogy to the top build, to it looked after the people. And I think that, yeah, we have lost that knowledge, but I think it's still there in a physical evidence and it can be tested, guys, you know?
Have you any opinion on whether some of this sort of long-lost knowledge, which has been handed down through all tradition, might have been occulted and might have been reserved by, I don't know, secret societies or societies with secrets? Or that there might be certain groups who have access to some of this stuff and maybe using it in not necessarily benevolent ways.
I'm going to say, right, when you're on social media in an echo chamber, you've met a few of the people that really know what they're talking about. You really have. Now, when you're in an echo chamber and something's just bouncing around, what you're actually really overviewing, not a lot. Now, what's good these days, I use the analogy, is our Tower of Babel, our historical way of sorting this out is the internet. We're all of a sudden given photographs daily of ancient sites we hadn't seen, new angles, new ways to look at things, new people's opinions that might not necessarily have given that opinion years ago. Now, I'm not saying my opinion's right. I'm not saying yours is right. What I'm saying is if you get multiple people's opinions and look at, because look, my job right now as I'm talking to you, I'm a close protection specialist. I work in intelligence analytics, and intelligence analytics, you take massive amounts of data, you look at what you can corroborate as evidence, you look at then what you can move forward with, and then from that you see a pattern. Now you only need to look at the A to Z catalogues of the ancient hallmarks, the thousands of them, not just the nubs of bevel blocks, of polygonal stone, trapezoidal doors, of false doors. Come on, guys, there's 12 or 13 of them that are out there. It's massive. They weren't just leaving that amount of hallmarks for us to accidentally step on. But it seems to me a lot of people really don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They don't. Me and Andrew, me and the team, me and a lot of people have tried to push this for years with the best in the world. This is the evidence. This is what we've got. Please have a look at it. Nothing. So we've written papers on it. I travel to Portugal every year. We document them on photos. I go with Ricardo. I go with Guy. All members of the team, like Mike that you mentioned, with Nicky Arna, they're going to Peru in October. They've just been traveling Peru. There's so many good friendships being built off the back end of all this work. And look, it's great to meet you guys over it. And I'd love you guys to spread, you know, that word and come out with us and come and see what these frequency experiments do. And then one of you's there to go out and speak about it yourselves because you've seen it firsthand. And I think as a charity, rather than somebody saying, give me money, that's never going to be me. I've never made a penny off Ancient Alternative. I never will because I'm very outspoken. It's never going to happen. I applied for subscriptions on Twitter and I've never heard back off them at all. I mean, who's really going to subscribe to somebody that's saying the ancient world isn't what you thought? I get that. So I'm basically the most shadow banned character with Dan and a few others in. But what we're given is physical evidence that can't be ignored. How can you ignore it? Andrew and I have shown this to Graham, to Brian, to Jimmy. Don't get me wrong, Jimmy's very open to the hallmarks. Very, very good guy. Although his opinion, it is a very good guy. And he's very, very good with the hallmarks. He understands them. What I would suggest to ancient researchers out there that aren't seeing them, why aren't you? Why aren't you? I interviewed, like I am with you guys, with Derek Olson the other month. Derek happily goes up to every single ancient site hallmark and photographs them and sends them, which I was honoured to go and interview with him. Like, you guys really open to understanding what the hallmarks actually could mean for ancient history and why aren't people looking at them. It's really frustrating. I mean, like Dan has said to you guys, it seems like there's two spans of time. Like, there's the ancient world that was erased and we're all like, you'll do as you're told and this is where you are. But that's not where the physical evidence, and he's never said that, by the way. He knows what the physical evidence says. But I can see his point. I agree with his research, actually. I think he's fantastic. That you can't see the wood for the trees because maybe that era just isn't looked at anymore. You could literally, and I'll give you an example of what Dan and I have spoken about in the UK. You can dig down for a metre in Leeds or whatever, and you're at the Roman Empire. There's coins there. Where are the 14 civilizations above that pot from the Roman Empire? Where are they all? Burnt civilizations, the kings, the queens, the Tudors. Where are the Vikings? Where's everything that come with the Saxons? You get like this little pocket of Saxons and Vikings and then Romans. And that's it. Like they all went round and went, there's all our coins. There's all our pots. We're going to bury that there. We'll put that sword there. That's not how it happened at all.
They should have invented purses and wallets.
Oh, come on. You know what I mean? So, like, we did a study and worked with Dan on it, actually. He did a lot of it. But he said, go and do this for me, Phil, in your area. Go and find me graves before 1700.
Yeah.
I'm not joking you. I live in a stately home, red brick Victorian house. And in my area, you've got a lot of that. But before the new area got built, you might have had one church. I'm not joking you. Nothing before. So we did this. Everywhere. You can't find anything. Where are all the dead bodies? So I started trying to apply a nearer avenue of time to the degrees and everything in ancient history I'd done. And then Dan had blew my mind considerably, like in that kind of Tartarian aspect. But it doesn't take away the ancient world's actually there. What did they do then? Build a goldfish bowl for us to go, ooh. Yeah. I mean, the possibility is there unless frequencies tell us something completely different. Then you've got a mindset that goes back a long way of teaching and we're looking at something completely different, which Dan does agree with as well, that there was an ancient world. He's never said that, but, you know, I do agree with him on his research. So,
yeah. I'm interested in this. You were talking earlier about certain temples and frequencies, and they would sort of read your frequency you're giving off, and that would change your Can you explain a bit more about that? Is it how are the frequencies generated? Is it to do with the minerals in the stones and the architecture or what? How's it?
It's exactly like that. And we did a study on a castle in Italy called Gropparello Castle.
How old's that?
Gropparello Castle is actually very ancient, and guess what? It's rumoured as Roman times, of course. Of course. The problem is what they suggest is a Roman tower that goes underneath. It's got chambers out. The chambers, if you look at Gropparello Castle, are called hypogeums. Now, we know hypogeums to be in Malta.
Yep.
And what we get through the hypogeum in Malta is different rooms. One of them is called an oracle room. Now, in the oracle room, when specific frequencies are played, you can hear a language and it sounds like something different outside. It's said in the hypogeums that through specific niches that you could use frequency to amplify sound over 200 meters. Now, it's heard differently outside, but the mineralogy of stone underneath that goes to these hypogeums was the same. Imagine that that was happening over specific connections to different temples. You could theoretically use specific niches to use communication in different languages. So with different rooms in hypogeums, you could have had where, say, if I was a professor, I was learning from you, and then this is what I go back and tell my class. And you could do that through different water courses. So if there's different water and the same mineralogy of stone, okay, I'll give you an analogy. I'll give you one, all right? This is from written history. Alexander the Great said he could pass a message down the New Road, yeah, using horses every 11 or 7 miles, depending on how you transpose that, to get a message back to Macedonia in 7 days. So a horse galloping. What happens if something happens to that horse? That's never going to happen. Have we read it wrong? Could there have been temples that had different mineralogies where he could go this, and he was using communication and not horseback at all? And all he was doing, because what he did do was say when he was going everywhere, and bear in mind he did all this by the time he was 32, his dad Philip, which is my namesake, was one of the most decorated kings of all time. And he said, within my time, from learning from my dad, I'm going to activate everything. What did he mean by that? So he went absolutely everywhere and said, I don't want war with you. I'll kick all the dickheads out. Pardon my French. I'll activate the temples and then no one's going to bother you again. I just want you to live in peace. And so he conquered everywhere in 3 years. Did he conquer it? Or did he just go and say, I'll make everything better for you, and if anyone gets in your way, we'll just take them out of the equation? He conquered everywhere far quicker than everywhere else. I don't think he conquered it through what you're thinking. I think he went and activated the temples. And slowly after he died, think about the balance of power. Oh, I can control these temples. I can control what's going on. I can use water. I could destroy here with this. You imagine where that went and the wars that... He didn't want that, I don't think. I think he wanted peace. I think he actually wanted to make everybody work together. But could we do that now through a fear of, through a sense of awe throughout going to these temples? Are there any functional temples now? Go online, type in on your Google, what are the most instrumental temples in the world? You'll come up against about 100 in India. You've got ones with pillars that you play tunes on that aren't even hitting the pillar. You've got ones that are tuned G, C, H. you've got ones like in Egypt, like temples that in the olden days, stones were basically charged like a G and a C chord. I don't know whether you know this, but your body is a G and a C chord. So if you amplify that and you lie on it and you've got a bad back, what do you think that medical technology is today? It's exactly that. What if they turn that up? They'd said that the pyramid tunes played naturally as a G and a C chord. So you didn't hear it, but your body vibrated at it and it made you feel better wherever you walked. And it says that in written history. So mainstream history, not me making it up. That's just a study point, you know? So why shouldn't we go and study the frequencies is my point. I think that we could do that from Gropparello Castle, which they say is a hypogeum. And your original point is, are the stones there? Yes. They're called sarsen stones, and sarsen stones have massive amounts of quartzite, and they're placed on other stones, almost like batteries. So any doorway that you walk in, you can have a vortex of frequency. I'm telling you, when these places didn't want you there, you'd have felt scared walking in through there.
What is
and
it?
We can test that.
What
we
is
can
it about?
Test that today.
What is it about an individual that would make them not feel right? Is it something wrong with their own frequencies out of whack or what? Do you know?
Maybe that you're not ready to understand what's going on within that kind of place or learning, or maybe you're like, don't believe in any of that. All right, then, see you later. You don't know how it was tuned back then. I don't know how it's tuned now. I'm just theorising and surmising. But what you do to get those vortexes as proof is, you know, the cameras that you get, normal everyday cameras, you change the point of vision for the photograph and they become a different camera. And this camera then takes photos of magnetic fields. I don't know how to do that, but it's quite easy, apparently, as a photographer to do it. And you can see these magnetic fields, mate. It's not me telling you. You can see them. You can take it. So where you go down to these hypogeums and you saw it at the gate where it's small, imagine what it's like when you go down. And they say at Gropparello Castle at the moment, nobody's allowed to go in the hypogeum. Maybe an Institute for Natural Philosophy, somebody that's got a team around them actually can, and we can go and see. You can ask for permission. Of course you can ask for permission. Say if you had a paper that backs up research that's done around the site, maybe we can definitely go and get permission, you know? And I think that that's where we need to go, is go and do the boots on groundwork, the real tough stuff. Go and get these trident of frequencies and go and test them everywhere, because they're there. They're proven by academics, and we've been talking about them for the last 3 months. So it's proof in physical evidence, so it just needs testing now, really.
There was some interesting frequency experiments conducted at where we were about a year ago, West Kennet Long Barrow.
West Kennet was the last episode we did and classed as the best we'd ever done, because what they do at West Kennet, and of course you guys know about this, they use a young 14-year-old boy as a test subject within West Kennet, and they've got the test paper writer himself. Now, they send him in there, and there's it's called a bull roarer, and it's basically Aboriginal, and they use two of them, and you circle them, and it makes a noise, woom, 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 woom. Now, this little lad, 14, says he got a tap on the shoulder after seeing the stones vibrate. Yeah. And he sees a doorway open and he gets asked if he's all right. Now, West Kennet Barrow is 1.75 metres tall. The writer of the paper, an academic specialist, non-believer in anything to do with this, goes in, and you know where you just said to me, well, does it know your frequency? He didn't dare do the same experiment as the 14-year-old. He actually wore earphones. If you read on his write-up, it says he shot up 4 meters in the air. Now, you tell me what academic doesn't know what 4 meters is compared to 1.75. He explains it as when he came back down, he didn't have a clue how to explain this in an academic paper, from the 14-year-old boy to him at 4 meters. And those sarsen stones had the biggest concentration of quartzite. Now, the sarsen stones there were 96% to 99% quartz. Wow. Crystal in some way in the sarsen stones. Now, there wasn't just West Kennet. There was 3 other sites around. That one's been buried and one was knocked down. Can you imagine the power that all 3 of them had? But you're right, West Kennet was our biggest study point, and it was our most mind-blowing frequency, let's say, study out of the entire frequency mineralogy magnetic study. Huge, huge.
We just like happened upon it by we took a wrong turn.
Yeah,
we were heading back to Avebury, weren't we? We took a wrong turn, and then we saw the sign, didn't we? And then we saw Silbury Hill, which is just across the road from it, essentially.
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, we've got time. We've got an hour. We'll trek up there. Crikey, it was worth it.
Yeah, it definitely. It's an
incredible place. It was the highlight of my trip.
Can I ask a question? Was it accessible for you to be able to go and do testing on if you really wanted to with frequencies?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone could go and walk up.
I think there's one half, isn't there? I think there's half of it that's open. I think a bit of it was still closed, the back part.
You need to get the frequency to open that bit, Matt.
I don't think you could go all the way to the back of it, could you? Am I remembering that wrong?
I think so. I thought we could get all the way. Or some of it caved in?
Maybe, yeah.
There was something. Wasn't some work done on it a long time ago and made it structurally, part of it structurally unsafe or something? I can't remember.
And they've put like little light holes in it as well, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably ruined it.
It's still accessible.
It's portable.
It is accessible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely, It's a bit of a trek up that hill. You feel sorry for them lads looking them sarsens up there. And we're an absolute ton. Yeah.
Absolute barren.
I think, to be fair, we can all feel sorry for a lot of these megalithic builders for everything that they were able to do. But should we? Did they find it easy? Was it just different? Was it a different application? Hey, look, I don't think so. I think that we use our technologies in phones. We walk around with it in a small capacity. Our Tower of Babel is there. Could knowledge have just been their Tower of Babel and they just built and did what they did? I don't think we're that far apart. I don't think we think the same way at all with our building techniques. I think it was a completely different way of engineering, and that's coming from an helicopter engineer, and I can't work it out. So it had to be something different, and I think we need to apply multiple levels of thinking on that, you know.
I think people are using frequencies nowadays, then. Just on something Phil, you said before about like secret societies and secret knowledge being passed down, and are they using it today? Just with what you, Phil C, said on then about phones, what better way of having a frequency emitter about every person on the planet near enough than through these little boxes of babble?
Exactly that.
I don't know. You just reminded me when we had David Elkington on, and I think you said, Ben, to him, or he might have said it, you know, when he studied like these cathedrals and the resonance and all the rest of it, and like you compare that to modern built churches that aren't even, well, I'm sure there's one near us that's not east-west aligned anymore, not in the shape of a crucifix or whatever. And there's that, like you're saying, that loss of acoustics or resonance or whatever you want, or frequency, however you want to phrase it, seems to be quite apparent even there, I guess.
Yeah.
Lost you were right, got it right on the nose that time, Ben, didn't you?
Oh, once in a generation.
Yeah.
I think that when you're looking at a massive jigsaw puzzle, applying everything together is basically really tough. The only way to do it is with a lot of very clever minds together. And I think that working together has been excellent on X as a platform, if I'm quite honest, has been really good. Because you get, I know you get a lot of idiots, but you do get a lot of great minds that come together, and you're able to kind of culture these ideas and see where you might be wrong. None of us could be maybe 100% right, but taking a little bit from everyone, I think, you know, we could possibly gain more truths than where we are right now. And that starts with the physical evidence. It's got to be what we're looking at, you know. And a lot of people argue about hearsay and passed down traditions, fine, but apply that to the physical evidence. And that needs to be where we are, you know. Base the physical evidence from where it came from. Where are we going? And what did the engineering say? And how chemical sciences and ways that we look at things can really only answer so many questions. We've got to put ourselves in a different mindset to how these guys were building, to what they were looking at and why they used the areas they did to promote the power, the water. Look at in our day now, we build where we do around the water now, of course we do. So they did the same things, but the centres of excellence, as it were, around telluric energies, frequencies, did it promote and look after through, you know, areas of cyclopean stonework, polygonal stonework, different hallmarks that use niches to promote frequencies, to help people in villages, to hinder people coming near. You know, could you have worn a crystal to come near? Or could you have just said from niche to niche, I'm on my way back home? I think we can actually prove that. Wow. By going to different sites and seeing if these frequencies work, temple to temple, you know. And I think it's actually something we can test through a trident of frequencies on hypergeums. So yeah, that's what we're going to be looking at doing as a team in the near future.
Well,
Phil, or part of the team, anyway.
Yeah. We've rocked over an hour already, Phil. We're going to have to let you go and get on with
your Sunday. No problem. And it's been an absolute honour to have spoken to you guys. I really hope that I get to speak to you again.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Phil. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Definitely.
And
it's been fantastic.
It's called the Natural Institute of Philosophy, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, there's a link for the Twitter handle in there. Are you going to get like a website or anything for that, or just stick with X?
The website's actually just about to come live. There's going to be a library of information through the website.
That would be great, Phil, because like you mentioned, all the other guys you're working with, like Ziggy and Andrew and Wandering Wolf and all the rest, but it would be great to have like a hub where anyone can go and just, you know, where it's all collated, I guess.
Some kind of nub hub.
When the Institute has been registered as the charity that it's going to be for people to come and learn with, that will be exactly when that happens, and we'll promote that for everyone to come and give their views within the Institute.
Great.
And the website's only about a fortnight away from being complete, so yeah, look forward to having you all on there.
Oh yeah, we're shooing for being initiated, aren't we? We just need some initiation robes. I've got some druid paraphernalia.
That's some stuff.
Yes. You know?
I'm wearing my Viking stuff all night. You know it. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to catching up with you again. Ask a favour? I promote this video and put it on Ancient Alternative View?
Absolutely not. Yeah, you can do whatever you want with it. Do you want me to send you a copy?
Can you send me the copy?
Yeah,
I'll
whack
it on Agent Alternative View or whack it on.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
As well.
I'll,
thank you, guys.
I'll send you a Google Drive link or something tomorrow.
Thank you, mate.
All right,
I really
mate.
Appreciate meeting you guys.
Nice
Take
one.
Care. All
See
the best.
You, bye-bye. Yeah,
thanks,
bye-bye.
Phil. See you later.
All the best.
See you later out there.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. And we'll be back for part two in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do some, just one headline of the week this week.
Oh.
But it's going to be a deep dive.
Is it a cracker? Thin.
Sorry?
Huh?
Is it a cracker?
Yeah.
A wafer thin cracker.
Yeah. Right, links in the show notes. Follow Phil on X,
formerly known as Twitter,
and YouTube. Right, peace out. We'll see you for part two in 10 minutes.
Bye.
Hello.
No. Are we ready? I think the stream should be live. If it isn't live, then they've just missed some fantastic comedy stylings, haven't they?
Amazing.
You know.
The like of which we will never see again.
No. Right then, we're back.
The dwarf, the cripple, and the
mother of mindfulness.
So we told you, didn't we? End of part one, we told you we'd be back.
Promise made, promise delivered.
And here we are. That was our chat with Phil.
I know.
From Ancient Alternative View.
Yeah.
Mm.
Some good stuff, some good shit.
Yeah.
Some nubby goodness.
Yeah,
it's digest.
We haven't nubbed it for a while, have we?
No.
Oh,
it chafed a little.
It did, didn't it? Those were some big nubs in China, man.
Fucking enormous.
Big nubs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Those nubs were as big as a stone nub.
Yang Shan, I couldn't remember how to spell it. I was Googling furiously, trying to remember how to spell it. But yeah, fascinating place that. Mike, do you remember we did a podcast debunking Nephilims with Ken Ami?
I cannot forget that podcast.
We kind
so
of,
intense.
Kind of all fell in love with him, didn't we, in his eyes?
Yeah.
Well, Mike from Wandering Wolf is like Ken Ami Mark II.
Is he?
He's just a captivating, beautiful man.
Right.
Well, you can find him on YouTube. We should try and get him.
The Wandering Wolf.
Get him on.
I think I have stumbled across that channel.
He's done some. I think he's done some shows with Nicky Anna.
Right.
In fact, Phil mentioned they've just had a trip, I think, down to Peru.
Oh.
Mike and Nicky. I don't know if it was just them two and some others as well.
Did they find
investigating
any talking bears?
Ah, with marmalade fetishes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to ask.
Deepest, darkest Peru, that.
Maybe they haven't gone into the jungle enough.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, should we move it? Oh, links in the show notes if you want to follow
up. Oh, yes.
In the show notes for part one. And check out Phil's stuff. Pleasure. We'll have to do it again. But in the meantime, let's move on. Let's do some headlines. Just one. Just one this week.
Capital letters. A big news story. Headlines of the week.
Children in tears as damp squib Willy Wonka event is cancelled and police are called.
It's been all over the news, this. Even I've seen this news article.
Yeah.
There's memes already. Memes galore.
Well.
And you've done a deep dive on the Willy Wonka catastrophe damp squib story.
Well, I think it's officially a
Willy Wonka deep dive.
Oh, wow. Right, okay.
Yeah, here we are. This is from, I think it's The Telegraph. In the beloved children's story by Roald Dahl, the golden ticket holders who won a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory were promised and experienced a world of pure imagination.
That's the one.
But children hoping for a similar magical experience at the £35-a-head event in Glasgow instead found what their parents described as an incredibly underwhelming damp squib. Some of the children who had travelled from across Scotland and the north of England to Willy's chocolate experience in Glasgow...
What?
Willy's chocolate experience?
Yeah. Wow.
It all ended in tears.
Yeah, I bet.
The all-weekend event was abruptly cancelled only halfway through its first day, and the police were called as anger grew.
Wow.
Organisers, the House of Illuminati...
No.
Red flag.
Promised visitors a journey filled with wondrous creations and enchanting surprises at every turn, and a day where dreams come to life. The advertised attractions included an enchanted garden with giant suites, an imagination lab that promised to transport the viewer into the realm of creativity, parents expecting the experience to recreate the magic of Dolls, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, were hugely disappointed. I maybe leave the story there. Shall I carry on? Maybe it's just start my small presentation.
I was going to say, oh, it's not much of a deep dive if you stop now.
Let's start with the promo materials. By the way, the website is still up. Yes. So if anyone... I've not put a link in the show notes, just Google it. But I've got...
Lazy.
What is it? Glasgow Chocolate Willy.
Charlie's Chocolate Willy experience.
I'll tell you what is funny. Before we go into the promo materials, I love this disclaimer from the website. The House of Illuminati is a registered company in England and Wales. Any resemblance to any character, fictitious or living, is purely coincidental.
Wow.
This experience is in no way related to the Wonka franchise, which is owned by the Warner Brothers company.
Wow.
So here's the main flyer from the website. Enchurining Entertainment.
Carchichins.
Catacating. Live performances, catchy tunes, Exarchidae lollipops, and a paradise of sweet teats.
Where do I sign up?
Now, 35 quid? Save my money! Yeah.
That is an AI-generated poster if I ever saw one, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it isn't, then it's some sort of weird fever dream a graphic artist is having.
Yeah,
it's obviously a mid-journey gone wrong, isn't it?
And you look, there's like a phallus and testicles on
the
right hand.
I don't know what's going on that. That's like something that we might talk about in ancient architecture. Have they got a handbag? Or
where's the ancient man bag?
Yeah. It's not. It looks like he's holding a set square, though. He's got a winged helmet on the lollipop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be Hermes
like
on the
an
lollipop.
Anunnaki thing.
That's Hermes Trismegistus. I imagine if you take Wildo Wonko, whoever this figure is in the middle, if you measure that angle of his cane,
I was about to say.
I'm sure it'll be 23.5 degrees.
Everything else is a mushroom.
He just needs a wooden leg, and then he is Saturn.
Wow.
So, I mean, that should have raised red flags, shouldn't it?
Yeah. You're not paying 35 quid for that kind of grammar and spelling.
No. Anyway, let's go to the some more promo photos from the website. As mentioned in the article, so the first one is the Enchanted Garden. Here's the promo image. Your journey begins in an enchanted garden with giant suites, vibrant blooms, mysterious-looking sculptures and magical surprises that add an extra layer of wonder to your chocolatey experience. Navigate through peculiar but enchanting garden, collecting delicious beans of all colours, shapes and sizes. Who knows, perhaps you might be able to grow your very own enchanting garden.
Ooh.
That's from the website. This is what it actually looked like.
Oh, fuck.
God. That's amazing.
And so you get a picture taken in front of the, and they don't even match up. The photos behind don't match up.
Basically, they've printed some images onto like bed sheets or something, haven't they?
Yeah.
And pinned them along a wall.
Oh, that's God, really bad.
The deep, deep shame.
Are you sure this wasn't part of an episode of The Apprentice?
It's like something like that, isn't it?
There's more. This is the part one of Deep Dive. Here's the Imagination Lab promo image from the website. This looks pretty amazing. This looks pretty good, actually.
It's not a bad AI, that, is it?
Imagination.
Oh, yeah, obviously the spelling. I mean, AI is thick as fuck, as I've said repeatedly. Simulated intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Imagination Lab. In the Imagination Lab, prepare to be captivated by a visual spectacle. encounter mind-expanding projections, optical marvels, and exhibits that transport you into a realm of creativity. This space invites you on a surreal journey where the boundaries between reality and fantasy harmoniously merge, resulting in an enchanting and visually striking encounter. Brace yourself for an adventure that will leave you spellbound.
Oh no.
I'm Agnation Meth Lab.
It looks like a deleted scene from Breaking Bad. It's Heisenberg's Meth Lab.
She's having an existential crisis at some point.
She must be a minor celebrity by now.
She is. She's already doing TikToks explaining what happened. I've not got hairs. I have some video clips forthcoming.
This morning, next week. Right?
You would hope so. But yeah, that's the meth lab. Sorry, the imagination lab.
Imagination lab.
Imagination lab. Where do you go to next? Oh, Twilight Tunnel. In the Twilight Tunnel, get ready for an exhilarating and immersive adventure. Oh yeah, so we've got some more AI wording down here.
Dim tight. Is it
Welsh? Welsh on the bottom.
Depractions. Vivu sounds. Ungrievel.
The Grievel, Ungrievels.
And Empretti?
It's the unexpected twits that I'm looking forward to. Unspected twits? Svay?
What's that one? Dodjection.
Every chocolate factory needs a dodjection machine, surely.
Agnemic sounds.
Tröding. It's Swedish, no?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Swede.
What about Dimdick?
I thought it was Welsh.
I mean, again, it's quite a nice picture, isn't it? If you just get rid of the
everything.
Bit. Yeah, this organizer isn't familiar with the GIMP or editing, is he?
No.
Journey through a dimly lit passage adorned with captivating projections, enigmatic sounds and surprising turns that will immerse you in suspense and excitement. It's a heart-pounding experience you've never experienced before.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, is that like the thing that they go through in the original film and it gets smaller and smaller? It's like an optical illusion.
I don't know.
Do you remember that? And they knock on the door at the end? Or is it the thing in the boat where it's all trippy?
It's like a migrant camp.
Sorry, Matt, you're forgetting that any resemblance to any character fictitious or living is purely coincidental.
Sorry, yeah.
This experience is in no way related to the Wonka franchise, which is owned, obviously, by Warner Brothers.
Right.
But that's a pretty sad Twilight Tunnel, I think you'll agree. That's pretty grim. I like the refreshment stand.
Fuck.
That's got proper 80s school disco vibes on it.
I mean that giant bag of sweets looks all right, doesn't it, behind?
Yeah.
Is that yet to come?
I don't know. Let's continue with the story. I might as well finish reading the story because we have some eyewitness testimony to get through. I don't know where I was up to. I'll probably miss that bit and say, yeah. The furious reaction from parents prompted the organisers to close the event midway through Saturday, only hours after it opened. Police Scotland confirmed that officers were called to the event at the Box Hub warehouse in White Inch and said advice was given following complaints from unhappy visitors. House of Illuminati published an apology on its Facebook page and promised refunds over the coming days. Visitor Shirley Bell wrote, "We had tickets for 1:15 and didn't get in. They have shut it down and so many complaints. Apparently, a few props and a couple of people dressed up and then wait for a packet of sweets and a wee lolly.
A wee lolly.
Kids all dressed up and crying, waiting for what they thought was going to be a magical experience. The organisers should be ashamed of themselves."
Did this person get dressed up as a housekeeper in drag?
It's pretty close, though, isn't it, actually? Good call, yeah, Doubtfire.
No?
Hey, if they reboot it, I'm a shoo-in.
Yeah, unintended.
Unexpected Doubtfire.
Yeah.
That's a good band name, that. Unexpected Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Stuart Sinclair, 29, from Douglas, South Lanarkshire, took his two sons and four-year-old daughter to the attraction. He told the Courier newspaper there was a guy wandering around apparently dressed as Willy Wonka, but he didn't seem interested. You then got inside and there was a couple of props and a plastic chocolate thing. In the next room, they had test tubes with jelly babies. I said to the kids, at least they'd get a bag of sweets. But they only gave them one single jelly baby each. Motherfuckers.
One jelly baby?
Yeah. Wow. The Facebook group was set up. The people who were angry set up their own Facebook group to complain or whatever. They voiced their disquiet. The box up venue said it just hired out the space. It wasn't responsible for the exhibition. No. Operations manager told the Scottish Sun that House of Illuminati approached the venue a few weeks ago with a plan that sounded great on paper.
Yeah.
But looked incredibly underwhelming.
Mm.
Obviously, this has gone massively viral this week.
Mm.
And certain players, actors, have been doing videos, sort of filling people in and, as to what happened. I've got a couple of clips here of the guy who played Wildo Wonko, whatever his real name was. And this first clip here he sort of explains how he was approached and how he got into it.
But I got cast as the part on the Thursday and was told that I needed to learn the script for the Friday. So I said, no problem, send it over. The script was 15 pages, monologue, pretty much, of AI-generated gibberish.
Brilliant.
Wow. So, you know, you need to use, they're not using the right AI. Apparently, if you use Claude, it's a little bit better for that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, take some tips, House of Illuminati.
Yeah.
But one of my favourite lines was, there is a man who lives here. His name is not known. So we call him the Unknown. The Unknown is an evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls. What? What is an evil chocolate maker for a start? Is it does he make evil chocolate? Or is he an evil man who makes chocolate? And what do you mean he lives in the walls?
Well, he's the Unknown.
Yeah, he is the Unknown.
We were told on the experience to hand out a jelly bean, one jelly bean per
jelly
child.
Bean?
And a quarter of a cup of Tesco's own brand lemonade. That was what the children got. No chocolate. There was no chocolate to be had at this chocolate factory.
Fucking hell.
Quarter of a cup.
Quarter of a cup.
This fucking dank lemonade.
Fucking
terrible, isn't it?
What about an everlasting gobstopper? Oh, sorry, it's not. I'm thinking the wrong.
Do I have to remind you?
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Any resemblance to any character, fictitious or living, is purely coincidental.
Waldo Wanker.
Waldo Bobbins? Right? The chocolate man?
He lives in the walls.
He lives in the walls.
No. We'll get to the Unknown in a minute.
Wow.
Because the Unknown has become the star of this thing. But let's get some. I've got some extended footage without the Unknown because we'll save that. We'll save him, it, her. The Unknown is probably gender fluid. We'll save it till after this. This will give you a sort of a bit of a vibe of the experience.
I'm not joking. I paid £40 a ticket for this. Smallest bouncy castle in the world. And I bet we have to pay for that food over there. These are like the photo bits. They are. What a waste of money.
I mean, if you're a mum, dad and a kid, that's £105 for this.
Fucking
and
hell.
It's a big space, that, isn't it, as well? It must have been quite expensive for them to hire it out.
I don't know, maybe.
You don't think?
I don't think it's justified.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah. What a brazen, all cash.
Here's your man getting his jelly bean. his single jelly bean from the meth lab Oompa Loompa.
Oh my god. Fuck me.
I think she's trying. She's trying to get the kids into it, isn't she?
Yeah, but bloody hell.
It's pretty lame.
I want the chocolate so delicious.
He is. Oh, he's Wildo Wonko.
I mean, he looks like he's trying to perform, doesn't he?
He looks like a Nephilim clown.
Could be. Look at the chocolate bar. That bears no resemblance to the golden ticket holding chocolate bars.
No, absolutely not, because any resemblance would be completely coincidental to anything real or fictitious.
We have a camera here. We need to film your reactions for the
I wonder if they were selling photos, because a lot of we all have young kids.
Yes.
A lot of these things, they come around and take photos and then they try and sell you them at the end. Don't know if that's the case.
Come on over. Ready?
Photo op. I don't know what's going on here. This seems to be like a free-for-all. That looks like strawberries.
Chocolate fondant look in the background.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic thing, isn't it?
1/4 of a strawberry.
Oh, my gosh, is this...
And half a marshmallow.
Are we seeing actual video footage of...
Chocolate.
...the Imagination Lab?
Maybe.
Is that what this is? Oh, I don't know.
If you can imagine a small piece of strawberry... and a marshmallow, then you can enjoy the Imagination Lab.
Yeah. So I think it's time. Should we look at the, find out what the unknown's all about?
No,
I really want to see the unknown within the walls.
The evil chocolate man.
Lives in the walls. No, please.
What is that?
God.
It's the unknown.
What?
That's the unknown.
So they genuinely have an evil chocolate maker that lives in the walls.
Yeah, and in mirrors by the looks of it.
Just disturbing the children.
I know, yeah.
The AI came up with it.
What is that? It's the unknown.
No, that's primal. That's terrifying.
It's like Scream.
Yeah. What you have to do is you have to make a scary face at the unknown, and then you get scared, you see, apparently. Well, you know. Documentary evidence here.
As the suit full of scary face.
Oh my god.
Scare the great unknown.
Scare the great unknown.
As the suit full of scary face.
Oh my god.
Scare the great unknown.
It's like where, that is like, you know, the laughing clown at the Pleasure Beach used to freak me out.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those things that these children are.
Yeah, they're going to be terrified, aren't they?
For the rest of their lives. Do you remember that unknown?
He lived in the walls.
The evil chocolate maker lived in the walls.
Fucked up.
At that day out we had.
The unknown's taken on a life of its own. It's going to be on X Factor, I believe.
I would be scared of you. You're actually really quite scary. By the way, you walked over to me. I thought we were going to have a scrap. No.
No. No.
No,
it just keeps unraveling this story. It's been going for a week, and there's just new things coming out each day.
New unknowns.
New unknowns to the story.
There's still some unknowns.
Oh, well, I mean, it has been coming out in the press, but I did a bit of research on who the founder of the House of Illuminati is.
Oh, yes. Right, okay.
He's called Billy Cool.
Billy Cool.
And as well as like having his events company, by the way, you can have the House of Illuminati do your wedding if you like.
Right.
On their website. Yeah.
No.
They'll do your wedding for you.
Would they do it? Do you think they would do a genuine Wonka wedding, or would it have to just be a...
It'd be shit.
Yeah, I think any similarity to any fictitious or real characters would be completely coincidental.
Right, okay.
I wonder if you could have the unknown at your wedding, officiating.
As the suit, wait, pull a scary face, oh scare the great unknown.
Yeah. But yeah, he's actually, Billy Cool is an author.
Right.
I found his page on Amazon.
Right.
Here we go.
He's written 16 books.
Bestsellers.
It was the first one.
The Prophecy.
Oh, is that the unknown?
Oh, my God, yeah.
This is where it all ties in, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think it's only about 12 quid, Ben. If you get the Prophecy Matrix.
Is that a woman?
That's Billy Cool.
Is it a woman?
On the left?
Yeah.
Or is it the unknown?
On the
left. You're talking about the woman on the left?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Am I talking about the woman on the left? So that must be a woman then.
Well, I detect some chebs.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But I mean, that don't mean out, does it?
Originally, I thought that's a man.
You thought it was a man?
Yeah, but maybe it is a woman. Who knows anymore?
I can't believe you're misgendering an AI-created character in a book. That's terrible, Matthew.
Do you think that's an AI picture, the person in green?
I think Billy Cool is AI generated.
Oh, right, okay.
The whole thing is an experiment.
Right, okay.
I've just selected a handful, three titles of his that look the most interesting. Here's another one. Biohazard Protocol.
Fuck first, skirt.
Are these going to be like AI-generated books that he's just published to see what happens?
Do you reckon...
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Wow.
12 quid. Have you bought them, Phil? This, and here they are.
This one's set in like the distant future.
Oh. I mean, it looks pretty recent.
Have they not improved on stethoscopes?
I love the fact that, you know, the girl on the right looks like photoreal. The girl in the middle looks sort of half cartoony,
yes.
And then the girl on the left is completely sort of from a comic book.
Like Marvel.
Yeah.
Middle one's sort of Disney up.
Yeah.
How many fingers do they have as well?
Oh, there's no fingers on show because we know that simulated intelligence can't do fingers.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, that's the text behind them. Fuchsbrüher. Yeah. Last one. Eclipse of Power. By Billy Cool.
It's got a pyramid.
Wow, it's what's it called? Preview of these books anywhere. You normally cannot read
bit. You can read a preview, yeah.
Wow.
Does he do podcast interviews?
I think he's probably laying low. Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, what is up with this guy.
Wow. I don't know.
He looks a bit like...
He's sniffing a bauble.
David Mitchell in Peep Show.
A bit, doesn't he, yeah.
Good shout, yeah.
Mark Corrigan.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I mean, it runs with the Illuminati theme, doesn't it? The symbolism in the middle.
Mm.
Available at all good bookshops.
Available in good bookshops.
Only at Amazon, obviously. But yeah, interesting, eh?
Mm.
I wonder if this story is going to rumble on longer than a week.
Maybe.
Is something new going to come? Some new revelation? I don't know.
The Billy Cool Easter Experience. £45.
Oh, well, you know, Helen in the Elements server posted a change.org petition to have the Wonko experience reopened. I think it had about 5,000 signatures so far.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was thinking of... but you can, I forget what kind of petition it is, but a certain petition to the House of Commons, if you get 100,000 signatures, then it has to be debated in the House of Commons.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if maybe we could start that. Start a .gov petition to have the Wonka experience debated. Maybe I would say the petition would have to be that this piece of national treasure has to be
preserved.
Yeah, the state has to buy it and run it. It has to be. It's like the rail network.
Yeah, increase taxes to pay for the wonky experience.
Yeah, it needs to be not publicised. What's the name where you were?
Nationalised.
Nationalised, yeah. The Wonka exhibit should be nationalised for the public good.
Sure, man. Tis the season for political nonsense.
100,000 signatures, they will have to debate it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Be a short debate, I guess.
It's a sham of a mockery of a mockery of a sham.
Yeah. I thought that was, I think it's an interesting story. I can't believe the legs on it.
If each one of our listeners signs that petition, then they'll have to debate it in the House of Commons.
Really?
Going by my numbers.
All right. I don't think your numbers are accurate.
You've been one through AI one of generated. Those portals, haven't you?
It's been through a, I've been through a West Kennet portal.
Yeah, to an alternate universe.
It was just bed sheets twisting around the corner.
Twilight Tunnel.
Yeah.
Was there something living in the walls?
What is that? It's the end note.
That's horrible.
Anyway, let's see what's coming up next, eh?
First on BBC One.
The doctor, able to send email without a computer.
Was a sewing machine taken over by the spirit of Byron's grandmother?
Could a plant really identify a murderer?
Is it possible that a parrot could give a young girl the will to live? A fertilized octopus egg ingested into the human system actually grow? Shut
up!
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
The Value for Value podcast. If you find this podcast valuable, please consider returning some value. There's a myriad of ways of returning value to us, and my favourite way as ever is word of mouth, sharing links on your Telegram chats or your Discord servers or wherever you are online, Facebook groups. Share some links around. It helps us, you know, get that one subscriber a day that we get on YouTube. One more every day.
Well, it's better than none.
It all helps. Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
One day more. I like it when people submit artwork to the show.
We got one,
interesting.
Didn't we?
Interesting you bring that up, Ben.
Is it?
We got a submission from Lee from the Big Conspire podcast for today's show.
Yeah.
There it is.
Lovely. LBC. Lee from the Big Conspire.
Yes. Yeah. What do you think?
I think that's slick.
Fucking pops. It absolutely pops compared to my fucking shit nonsense that I came up with.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit different for you, that.
Yeah, it's a bit acid, isn't it?
It is.
Lee's is far superior. I vote that we accept Lee's and use that.
Yeah. I like the sun in the background on Lee's.
Yeah.
The sun is a deadly laser. Too slow.
Yep.
That's the wrong clip.
You know, it's just, you know, super painful. But
slushy deposits.
Pea garden sausage roll.
This is Smelly Pickering!
Who the fuck's that?
Yeah, me!
Because we've been bored and we want to have fun.
How can I find it? How can I find it?
The lads.
I imagine the carrot was my penis.
You're a lion dog-faced pony soldier.
Happy birthday, huge anus.
I can't save you if you're not wearing a face mask.
Delightful.
Why can't I find it? Why can't I find it?
Is it further up?
Your Semites.
Why? Why is it not coloured something that, you know, would stand out?
I can't even remember what you're looking for.
I got hairy legs.
Laser coloured.
Cunt.
Cunt.
Grape. Thailand.
There it is.
The sun is a deadly laser.
Slick. Got there in the end, didn't I? Got there in the end.
We'll sort that out in the edit.
Yeah, I'll fix it in post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, artwork. If you join the Element server, which is our social network hub, you get a preview at the beginning of the week who's coming on. So that gives you a few days to submit us some artwork. Or if you subscribe to the newsletter, which just dropped on the 1st, it comes out the 1st of every month, then you find out who the guests are for the entire month upcoming. So if you want to subscribe to the Rumspringer newsletter, send us an email at thearmiesinquisition@gmail.com. Come. And put newsletter in the subject line and I'll manually massage you onto the email
There you go.
Newsletter subscription.
It's the personal list. Touch that does it.
I believe so.
You could leave us a review on your chosen podcast depository. And if we find it, we'll read it out, probably in a funny voice.
That's genuinely what happens, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Mm.
Don't think we have any this week, do we?
No.
I've not checked, so I don't know.
Well, ergo, we didn't see it, and we're not reading it out.
Fuck you!
Let us know if you've left us a review.
Oh, gosh.
I am so fucking tired of doing podcasts.
God.
If you're watching us on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the
super
bell.
Super chats, man.
Super chats.
You can give us super chats and stickers, is it?
Stickers.
Give us stickers. It's all for Al Gore.
Mm.
Helps with Al Gore. It gives us a boost. And it.
Do we get any dollary dues for that as well?
I think YouTube takes half.
What?
Yeah. But
50% YouTube tags.
Yes, but I think that they promote videos
with stickers
that they see.
Super chats.
That's what I've seen in our analytics. Not that I've gone through things with a fine tooth comb.
Okay, so you get a little boost.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense, doesn't it? If YouTube sees a video where, you know, three people or four people have put their hand in a pocket and paid £2 for a sticker or something, they're more likely to push that video out.
Well, they're going to get more money, aren't they? It's more 50%.
More money for them, and our impressions go up every time people do super chats and super thanks.
We win.
So it's
communist dream.
It's like gaming it, isn't it? It's like gaming the system, basically. But if you're in a position to, and you have YouTube Premium, you can do that if you want. Yeah. It's all voluntary. It's value for value. Everything's out there for free to keep forever. And but if you're in a position to
buy a sticker,
you can buy a sticker. Yeah, become a producer of this shit show.
If you don't want to buy a sticker, you could buy a T-shirt from the Amish Loot Chest.
Yeah, we have a merch store, don't we?
Yeah, links are in the show notes.
Need to do some more designs. Need to come up with some more designs for the merch store. This is the latest one. I bet it's 6 months old now.
Is it too soon to have a Wonka themed one?
Oh my God.
I think there's something you could do with nubs, isn't there?
Nubs, yeah, nubs is a popular trope.
Definitely.
Check out my nubs.
Don't step on my nubs.
Stop looking at my nubs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
3 weeks to flatten the nubs.
Yeah, 3 weeks to flatten the nubs.
Right, ideas on a postcard. Let us know if you'd like to see some sort of nub design.
Like Subway logo, the popular sandwich artistry shop, but Nubway.
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 Right.
Nubway. Yeah, well, you know, we'll keep working on it, Ben.
Pornhub, but...
Nubhub,
there you go.
Right.
The logo, the orange... I don't know what the logo looks like. I believe it's orange and black.
Do you remember when we opened Phil's laptop one time?
And it was just...
How else can you become producer?
You could join the Element server, couldn't you, Ben?
You could. That's where it all happens.
I think things are heating up in the Element server, personally.
Busy. Oh, yeah. I need to tell you about
Element.
Messages.
I've used Element every single morning for over 3 years now. It is the way I start every single day. It tastes fantastic.
I mean, you can do lots of things in the Element server. You can do, instead of news articles, you could request a birthday shout-out. You could focus some chi or request some focus chi if your chi is depleted or you want a chi boost. You could make guest suggestions.
I mean, people who are used to Discord, there's a bit of a learning curve with Element, isn't there?
Yes.
We've had it reported that Element, you know, this is what hard looks like.
This is what hard feels like, and that's okay.
But it's okay. It's okay once you're in there.
Yeah, it's okay to feel hard every so often, isn't it?
Based Sigma Chad.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's about it, isn't it?
So have we done all the housekeeping? I think we've done enough housekeeping.
Is there a way where people can donate without anyone getting 50%?
Yeah. Brown paper bag.
Toss a brown paper bag.
Toss a coin to your
witcher. Do it for the lads.
Lads.
Save Pumblab. Yeah, if you go to the show notes or the website, you'll find a PayPal donate button, and you can give us a one-off donation and sign up for a monthly recurring sustaining donation. Helps keep the lights on, pay the running costs, and reinvest in equipment and streaming shit and all the rest of it. So, yeah, we appreciate it if you can. If you're in a position to donate, then go ahead. Oh, I'll tell you what I needed to do. Well, Helen, on her Zen Sticks, her sticker company, she was using something, a different payment method than PayPal.
It's Venmo.
I don't know. It's something like that. And I thought, oh, why don't we have that? I don't know. I'll have to look. Cash App?
Cash App. Maybe it was Cash App. Cash App.
Yeah. So, yeah, we need to make it easier, don't we? Because a lot of people, for good reason, don't like PayPal. But we need to make it easier for people to toss us a coin, don't we?
Yeah.
It would be a good idea. All right, okay.
Oh, my God!
I think it's about time we thank the producers, isn't it, for episode 319. Producers, we have Rona Kesson, Ben Limmer, Matthew Chin, Sam Carno, Alia, Emma, Helen, and Lee from The Big Conspire. Thank you.
They are.
Yeah.
So amazing in their love, literally. The best mate.
Yes!
Oh, Willie G. Da, da, da.
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
The dwarfs. The currents. The grape. The stupid little pen.
The doctor of thugonomics.
The homophobe. The
wind. The giant fucking lenses.
The solipsistic porn masturbator.
The chest feeding.
Communist.
The ninja turtle, yo.
The based Sigma Chad.
The corn pop chunks.
The baby penis.
Inner asshole.
These clockwork clowns.
The dime bar.
The number 11.
The vegan
on the bus.
The blind man.
The massive
girth.
Big chungus.
From hell.
It's shit day.
Melon.
I don't get it, never will.
Are you retarded? Get over here!
All right, thanks for your support for another week. It means the world for us.
Yes.
Just have lots of help producing the stuff. It's great. It's great. It's crowd-produced.
It's a beautiful
effort.
Thing.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Very happy with our producer...
community.
Yeah, our amount of producers sending us stuff. End of show ISOs. That's another way people become producers.
Oh,
and
wow.
What we usually do after the housekeeping.
How many have you got?
Only two. Only
two.
Two,
number two.
you might be right. This is the first one, Babe Station.
This is like Babe Station with blokes on it.
Hey.
This is like Babe Station with blokes on it.
Yeah, it's good.
Good?
Yeah.
What else have we got? Oh, thickos.
This channel is not for thickos.
Yeah, better.
Yeah, second one's better, I think. Number two. You all right?
Well, you know.
Happens twice a year, doesn't it?
Oh, you're gay. This channel is not for thickos.
Yeah, fair enough. Love that.
Yeah.
I think it's the best. The Babe Station one was a bit... wasn't very clear.
There's a good bit of... at the end.
This is like Babe Station with blokes on it.
Babe Station. That's a bunch of...
Is it still a thing, Babe Station? Did you ever venture up to the 900s on Freeview?
What time's it on? It's on very late, right?
I think it didn't it go 24 hours, but they just like are fully clothed or something.
Right. Do you ever see doing the dishes and stuff?
Yeah.
You ever see that guy? Is he called Sheephead? He used to ring them up and just talk to him about cricket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What? I remember, what was it? I don't know why I've heard about that. Was it on this podcast?
I don't know. I don't think we've ever played any clips.
Right.
No, but...
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen...
He used to record himself phoning
yes.
them. Yes. And then just...
And then he would show the TV screen of them, like, going...
Yeah. He's talking about the Ashes or something that was going on.
Yeah.
Nice.
For £10 a minute. Yeah. They're not bothered, are they?
Ah, it was worth it for the clicks.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good, that. If I was super rich...
You would buy
I
all
do
of
that,
the
but that's a good thing to do, I think.
Right,
so, yeah.
Block the lines from the solipsistic porn masturbators.
Yeah. Are you retarded?
I wish we could do our own. Could we have our own like phone in
chat? Babe station.
Pretty quiet, station. Wouldn't it?
It'd be quiet, yeah.
It'd be grim, yeah.
Think of the money, though.
I think I can imagine the amount of money.
Yeah.
Isn't very easy to imagine.
Yes, you don't need to stretch your mind too far, do you?
It's not your mind you want to be worried about stretching.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God! What the Farage?
Sorry, Ben. What?
I was going to say that's where the real money is, apparently.
Gaping.
I guess so.
Wow. That's where the real money is.
I imagine so.
Well, you imagine the carrot is your penis.
Yeah.
I imagine the carrot was my penis. Such a bassy talking voice.
It is, yeah. That's,
I don't know. You've become your instrument.
Yeah.
We did have, I think, do you know what it is? That's a proximity effect on the microphone.
Is it? Like this.
There you go. Yeah. The closer you get to the mic, the more your bass frequencies are enhanced. I really should revisit our audio quality and try and, I don't know, I'd like to.
It's sort perfect of, in every way.
It could be better. I don't know, I quite fancy going for like a.
You just want to spunk money on shit.
Oh, no, not with not equipment, just EQ and stuff to make it more sparkly, more like radio.
Get ready for your pedal board.
Don't need it. Pedals, fucking tussle.
What's Tussle Muzab? Tussle Muzab.
To see the Tussle Muzab pedal. It'd be great. What the hell's that? Silly Girls. I don't remember that one.
New Silly Girl.
New Silly Girl.
Silly Girl. All right. Shall we do some more stuff? Should we move on? Not much to do. This is interesting. We got, I think it was Al sent us this video, this bald and bankrupt guy who's a YouTuber, and found this interesting. Suspect. This guy's a bit suspect, actually. He's a bit of a sus. He's a bit of
a sussy chungus.
I was going to say. Hang on. How sussy is he?
A sussy chungus pirate from Basildon.
I think he might be a sussy chungus pirate from Basildon, but anyway, check out this video, it's interesting.
Look at this, what they've done here to smarten up the streets of abandoned buildings. Over there you can see that house, obviously abandoned, number 66. And here's abandoned too, and I thought actually it was some blinds in a window, but it's not, it's a picture of blinds in a window. And look at this, it's not a real door. It's a picture of a door. I suppose the council want to kind of make the place look a bit better and more up here. Look up here. This is so freaky. The council, I suppose, to make the place look better, have put these fake windows and fake doors on the buildings so it doesn't look totally derelict and abandoned. Look at this. That's not a curtain. That's a picture of a curtain.
What the fuck is that about?
I don't know.
It's like a Potemkin village.
Oh, yes. Yes. I recognise that reference, but that's where it ends.
It's fake. It's fake and gay.
Well, they used to put him up so that when it was going on his train journeys, Lenin or Stalin.
In the Soviet Union.
Yeah, so he could be going through actual.
When the train was going through, it would look like he was going through towns and villages and whatnot. They were just fucking cardboard, just thrown up, a silhouette, you know.
To keep him happy.
A pastiche. A facade.
Mm. Wow.
And what was the story behind this one then? Why is this, the council done this? To keep the mayor happy.
To make it look like it's not abandoned, but I suppose, is that to prevent ne'er-do-wells from squatting, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know the backstory of the.
Seems like a bonkers thing to do. If there's a problem with housing stock and there's a lot of houses there, they might need doing up, but wouldn't you put people in them and have people living there rather than just putting pictures up? Seems very. Very strange.
I don't think there is that, but there seems to be a housing problem in the southeast, doesn't there?
Yeah, it's falling into the sea.
Yeah, I don't think there's There's plenty of houses in Preston, isn't there?
Yeah.
And the surrounding areas of Lancashire.
Yeah.
The Shire of Lancs.
You know, Northern Powerhouse.
Mm.
No one wants to move up here, though.
No.
It's for the best. You don't come up here. It's no. Rubbish.
Bad trains.
Yeah, everything's rubbish.
It's rained. It's literally rained for 9 months.
Yes. Yes. Everything's wet, even inside.
Yeah.
Everything I own is mouldy.
Is it?
We eat black bread up north.
That's called black pudding.
Like crusty rye nonsense.
Mm.
Is this a good time to tell you about the amazing film I watched today?
I mean,
on Netflix.
You could try.
It's a film called Spaceman.
Oh. And it's I've heard. Is this the one with Thingy in? Adam.
Happy Gilmore.
What's he called? Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler is in it, in the lead role as the Czech astronaut. Even know his name.
He plays Czech.
He plays Chekhov from Star Trek. No, he plays a Czech Republic, Czechia.
Right.
Nationality astronaut in it. But he doesn't do a voice or anything. He's just Adam Sandler.
Right.
And there's like a weird nebulous ribbon sort of thing appears in the sky. So they send up a man, Adam Sandler, in a spaceship to go and check it out and try and collect some of the stuff. And he's been out there for 190 days or something. And his missus is at home and she's fed up and wants to break up with him. So she's talking over the fucking comms thing. And he's up near Jupiter somewhere. He starts going a bit nuts and makes friends with this giant space spider. That's just kind of faffing around in his toilet for I'm not making this shit up.
Comedy.
No, it's a drama. It's presented as a very serious drama thing. Like it's got a big message. I couldn't figure out what the message was, but there's a few big cinematographical scenes and there's like classical music on the soundtrack and all the cars are old, like, you know, in Cuba. And they use like old 80s mobile phones and it's got this kind of Soviet-esque vibe to the palette. So it's got that real kind of dirty
oeuvre
to, yeah, absolutely.
Mise en scène,
yeah. It's absolutely insane. We watched it, and at the end, I was like, well, I don't know what's just happened. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I feel like he was trying to get over a message that I didn't understand. Couldn't figure out what it was. And in the end, you don't even know why he's in space, and there's no end to that side of it. He just randomly gets rescued by some Korean guys who happen to be up there in another spaceship. There's just loose threads everywhere, and... it's one of those where I thought, well, am I too dumb to get this? But then I remembered it's an Adam Sandler movie. that can't be the case. Anyway, it's shit for a completely different reason to Moonfall being shit, but I love them both for different reasons.
Is it so shit it's good?
No, no, unfortunately not. It's not like Moonfall in that respect.
What a shame.
No, it's fucking awful. So watch it. Definitely watch it. Oh, Ben, have you watched Saltburn? Yes, I have watched Saltburn. Thank you very much.
It's the carpet, Ben.
As it happens, today, this morning, I drove within 5 miles of Saltburn, the actual place.
Right.
I didn't take a detour because I thought it'll either be full of like influencers or I won't know where it is and get lost.
Hey, you'd fit in fine. You're an influencer now,
correct,
Ben.
Right?
No.
Well, I didn't want to, like...
It's like 20 people watching.
I know, at least.
It's wild. Thank you, guys.
So you just drove past?
Just drove past,
Drive
yeah.
by.
Drive by. Drive by, grave fucking...
What?
Oh, you've not... have you not seen it?
No, we haven't watched it.
Okay. Spoilers.
It's very dirty.
I've heard
it's Rudy Poody.
It's got some scenes in that I thought, wow, that's not something I thought I'd be watching this evening.
Right, okay.
There you go.
Is it worth watching, though?
I think it's worth watching, yeah.
Is it better or worse than Spaceman?
Better.
Better than Spaceman?
Yeah.
Helen said it was very good in the chat, in the Element server.
Does Helen watch films normally?
No, I mean Saltburn.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a film, is it? It's a series, isn't it?
No, it's a film, isn't it? It's a film, isn't it?
It's a film.
All yeah. Oh, right.
Come on, Ben.
I can't fucking know. I might watch it then. Is it over 2 hours long?
Don't think so, no.
Is there lots of sex in it?
There's some sex in it.
Is there any boobs?
I think there's some boobs in it, yeah.
Is there at least side boob? You're thinking. Was there side boob?
I think there's boobs in it.
Is there an evil chocolate maker that lives in the walls?
Yeah, he lives in a maze.
Creepy.
Yeah, very creepy.
Yeah?
It's got some stuff that you'll go, wow, that's...
That's pretty hardcore.
That's some cinematography right there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Should we move on? Going up, knocking up to an hour already, although, you know, the first 5 minutes of the stream was nonsense, probably. Zero.
I mean, that's probably the best bit.
We've been to dozens and dozens of weddings. You've probably been to 100 weddings.
I think I've been to, yeah, over 100 weddings. Yeah.
There is always a point of tension in the ceremony when whoever's officiating, whether it's a vicar or the unknown, whoever's doing the ceremony, ask the question, is there any lawful... Does anyone here have... I don't know, I can't remember the phrase. Any unlawful... Do you know the lawful impediment
Lawful
thing?
Impediment as to how... As to why these two people should not be joined in holy matrimony.
Good, well done. I remembered. And it's quite... Did you feel tense at that point in your wedding at all? No. Were you expecting like a Wayne's World moment? Cassandra!
At the wrong wedding.
We already had a black dog running down to the altar.
I remember that.
Labrador from next door.
Gosh. Well, one of these moments was captured live on film.
Come on.
Oh. In order to proceed, I must now ask if any person here...
What's he been doing?
Ah, reincarnation's a weird thing, isn't it?
Julie noted.
Cool.
Okay, let's get on with this. Get back on track,
get on
please.
With it.
If any person here present knows of any lawful impediment...
She's not letting it go.
No,
Daisy, she weren't letting it go.
It's a big heifer.
I think that's a bull. It's only got one udder.
Oh. Oh, dear. That was a mistake, wasn't it? A double mistake.
Yeah. I made a joke at my brother's wedding when I did the best man speech about how most of his previous partners had got wiped out by foot and mouth.
That's quite
wow.
good.
Yeah, didn't quite phrase it like that.
No.
But, yeah. Anyway.
Do you still have nightmares about that?
I took my eldest to footy today, this morning.
Yeah.
Esketh Bank, all the way to Esketh Bank to get beat 6-1.
He's back off the bench now.
He played over half a match today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's Neymar figures.
I
believe Neymar is the name of a footballer.
During the second half, I noticed he looked very uncomfortable at one point. He was sort of not happy and sort of holding his stomach.
Is that the Mackie D's on the way down?
Well, we're in the car on the way home. I said, you didn't look comfortable for a spell in that second half. And he said, yeah, it was, I got hit with the ball in my stomach and I think it hit my digestive system.
Oh.
Wow.
That was his reason.
Ooh. Right in the large intestine.
Yeah. Exactly, right in the colon.
My duodenum.
Right in my second sphincter. How many do you have? Three sphincters?
Eyes. One in each eye. Your iris. There's a sphincter in your...
So that's two.
Okay. Two. One at the top of your stomach.
Three.
Arsehole.
Four. So you got four, have you?
I think at least four.
Isn't that one in your bladder as well?
No.
How do you pee then? How do you hold the pee in?
You hold your pee in?
Yeah, but it's not just an open tube from your
frequency,
bladder.
Frequency, man. Do you know, it's not to do with frequency.
Sensors. Sensors. There's no bladder sphincter as far as I'm aware.
Okay. Oh.
Well, someone in the chat, please
someone
Google
fat
it.
Chat, right? Yeah. Who's, who have we got in the chat? I haven't really been, I've been disregarding the chat. Who have we got? Sam's in there, Sam Cardon, Matt Apocalypse, Ross Holt, Tony. We've got Helen's in there, Legalista. Look at all these messages that we ignore every week.
Can you pick those up afterwards? Because...
Well, I do a setting on when we go live, when we set the live thing up, where the chat replays.
Right.
So I think if you watch the video back, these live messages should come up in the
so
time.
So if you skip to the end, they'll all be there, will they?
Mm. Hogdan, evening Hogdan. Yeah, nice to see. Flux Capacitor. I don't remember Flux Capacitor popping up.
No.
Restream.io, one of our... our biggest followers.
Restream. He's always chatting, isn't he? Restream.
Banging on.
Dave H. I don't recognise that name either. Anyway, welcome. It's nice to see everyone tonight.
Welcome.
It's a wonderful Sunday. In fact, that's we're looking at the wrong one. that's the last chat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are we even live?
Yeah, we are, yeah. Someone's chatting. Someone's been pinging up on the...
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh, look, it's this one here. I'm looking at... Fucking hell, looking at the wrong chat box all night. Oh, gosh. Scal, everyone. We ain't having it. I don't recognise that handle. We ain't having it. Good evening.
Yeah.
So we should pay more attention to the chat, really, shouldn't we? But
direct communication.
It's very small, isn't it?
It is small. From we need
enhance!
Need like a projector, don't we? So we can see the chat bigger.
The light doesn't, the ring light.
Doesn't help, does it?
No.
But we've got to look beautiful.
Got to see that ring light bouncing off my forehead.
Why don't you fucking powder your forehead before you come on?
I think I can get honestly. It so it reflects off my glasses.
Yeah.
In a curious manner.
It's reflecting off your sphincter.
Yeah.
Yeah, both my eye sphincter and my eye sphincters.
So, So, anyway, I'm not going to be able to take my lad to Sunday League for very much longer because I've finally done it. I've finally signed up for a team.
Oh, God, you haven't.
I fucking have, yep.
Oh, here we go, yes. I think I might know what team it might be.
A grassroots football club has stood by its decision to boycott its Sunday Wembley Cup semi-final after discovering what it calls horrific examples of misogyny on their opponents' social media accounts.
Camden and Islington United were through to a cup semi-final when they found out the name of their opposition, Munter Hunters FC. For those who haven't come across the word munter before, it's an offensive derogatory term for an ugly woman.
So ugly women do exist because they said it on the news, because it's a derogatory term for an ugly woman.
I dispute this totally. It's not not exclusive. I know for a fact you've been called a munter.
I've definitely been called a munter.
Yeah. It's not something that's just for women, is it?
No. Who called me a munter?
Me.
Just now. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think it's... why is it misogynistic? It's not a... I think men can be munters.
I think you're right.
Exhibit A.
I think that is a misnomer. Is that right?
I don't know.
Is it a Mandela effect?
Maybe it is. But yeah, it seems like the match isn't going to go ahead because...
They got the way to the semi-final, though, without anybody complaining.
Wanting their months, man.
They wanted, that team wanted a bye to the final. That's what it was.
Yeah.
What, how come they get to the final?
They didn't think they could handle the power of the Munter Hunters on
the
pitch.
There is such a thing as a Jack deer that is often hunted. So they could probably get away with saying that they're all, you know, wood folk.
Yeah, because I used to have an emotional support muntjac.
Yes, I remember Steve.
Yeah.
Steve either.
Took him everywhere with me.
Where is he now? Dead.
Dead, yeah. Ate him. Yeah, tweet him. He stopped giving me emotional support. So I
started giving you shit.
Clubbed him like a seal and ate him.
He called you a munter.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, dear. Oh, we have a laugh, don't we?
Wagwan fam, you're going to Somerset.
Any more business? Or shall we wrap this shit show up?
I think we're good.
I'm good.
Who's that? Oh, Fugly's. Fugly's FC. Oh, that's who Sam plays for.
Fugly's.
Fugly's FC. Nice one.
Right. Classy.
Yeah.
Keep it classy.
So hope you don't get drawn against Munter Hunters, or it'd be carnage, wouldn't it?
Mm. Munter Hunters.
Mm. Right, I think we better go.
Wild.
We'll be back next week.
With more.
Do all this shit again.
Boku.
Someone has to do this, don't they?
It's frequently us.
I'm tired.
I'm tired, boss.
I'm tired, and I'm sick of doing podcasts.
I am so fucking tired of doing podcasts.
So. Pretty good team, though.
Pretty good.
They are so good. They are an incredible team.
I usually cut that little eye glance out, but I got it that time, didn't I?
You did well.
Good.
Well, do you think it was a good one tonight?
Yeah, yeah, 6 out of 10.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Mm. That's it.
So long.
Yeah, so long.
So long until I jerk a nut in your ass.
So long, gay boys.
Yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back next week.
We'll be there. Do you care, though? We'll be there.
Are you coming next week, Ben, you big baby?
What a baby. What a big baby. Just get on with the game.
Yeah.
Get baby.
Baby.
Baby. Baby.
Oh, that's kind of a lot.
I know.
Oh, we have a laugh, don't we? We have fun.
And these guys, I mean, they're having fun now, but my goodness, they've also got a dark side.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope you're entertained.
I'm not entertained!
We'll see you next week, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fuck off now. See you soon.
Anna El Etifaki. See you soon.
I have a puss party.
Puss party? You dirty bitches!
Ugh. Dirty MILF hunters.
We're just doing this for your own good.
Congratulations on becoming a doctor of thugonomics.
Right, thanks for joining us, chat. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.
A sassy Chungus pirate from Bowser.
Based Sigma Chat.
Thank you for watching.
You got caught sucking your fingers on the bus.
Come on, man. I never sucked any ding-dongs.
I think you're hitting the point, Phil, that,
I'm too stupid. I'm too lazy. I don't get out of bed in the morning. I smoke drugs. Give me money.
And it really bothers me, because I believe I have an issue in this respect.
Game over, man. Game over.
Just doing this for your own good.
Oh, what a day.
I know, it's all a bit much, isn't it?
This channel is not for thickos.